P-77. The other side, sanctuary. Seemingly effortlessly hovering in the precise spot where Alicia had left it, so still, in fact, that suspended might have been a better word, the messenger's mothership opened as the smaller craft arrived to dock within it. Once they exited the saucer-like craft and felt the reassuring sturdiness of the mothership underfoot, and right next to the gate, which this larger craft was capable of safely passing, Dan and Tara dutifully made their way to the familiar bubble-like compartments where they would be more literally suspended for this gate crossing, as they were for every other. "Don't you want to talk about the probes I should deploy and the tests I should instruct them to conduct?" Leisha asked as the humans set off, intending the question primarily for Dan, but simultaneously sending it to Tara, too. Dan stopped in his tracks. "Oh yeah," he said, having forgotten an idea to which he had never devoted much attention. "I guess we might as well get some extra data since you'll be coming back for Billy anyway. Do you have mapping drones to capture images from above? That's probably what I'd be most interested in, to see what else is on this planet and how big it is." Leisha nodded slowly.
"I do, and I will deploy them. I will place a time limit in the extremely unlikely event that this planet is too vast for them to complete their equatorial circuits. They will reverse course shortly before their timers reach the halfway point. But as for the size of sanctuary, the gate back to New Kerguelen is at sufficient altitude for this mothership's internal sensors to analyze the planet's curvature and deliver an excellent approximation of its circumference."
"Good stuff," Dan said. "How long until we have basic data like that? Right away?"
"It will all be analyzed by our engineers as soon as we return, and I'll see their findings when I return from Earth."
"What do you mean?" Dan asked.
"I intend to transit directly to Earth without rousing you two from your suspension pods," Leisha explained. "I will make a very brief appearance on New Kerguelen to relay the success of our mission to prove the gate's harmlessness, but there is no sense at all in wasting a moment's more time than we need to. The situation on New Kerguelen was more immediately pressing, for sure, but the complexities of the growing discontent and disorder on Earth render your planet's problems more pressing than those of my own. After all, my planet's problems stemmed directly from the gate through which we are about to triumphantly return. On Earth, knowledge of this gate does not even extend beyond the town of Birchwood."
"Yeah," Tara sighed. "I guess we've got a lot to deal with when we get back, with Godfrey and everything."
"And Phil," Dan said. Tara took a deep breath and swallowed hard. Crushing guilt momentarily flooded through her upon the realization that Phil's gruesome death, so recent and harrowing that something like that having happened to a close friend would ordinarily have been the only thing on everyone's mind for the weeks and months that followed, had completely slipped her mind for the past few hours.
"Our thoughts have been occupied," Leisha sought to reassure her, stepping forward to do so physically too, with a cold but well-intentioned hand. "But for one second, do not think I have forgotten what was done to Phil, or softened in my vow to bring justice to all of those responsible." No one said anything for several moments. "I will be thorough but rapid in sending out the probes and mapping drones," the alien continued. "Am I to read that there are no other specific tests you consider worth conducting?"
"Well, I really want to know if there's another gate," Tara said. "You know, just to know. Can any of your equipment or sensors easily detect something like that from far away? Or would it have to be right underneath or right in line with the gate to see it, just like we have to be in line with the gate on New Kerguelen to make out the ripples against the sky?"
Leisha hesitated.
"A good question, and one I can't decisively answer," he admitted. "This mothership can detect gates from a great distance, but perhaps only those gates it has been programmed to know. A point we rarely consider, quite naturally, is that our vehicular technology all came from the architects in instructions transmitted to us via the radio-based machines they dressed up as elders. As he understandably tended to, Leisha was getting slightly riled up by the topic of the architects and their deception. His specific role as an interpreter had placed him in close contact with the elders, which he and Sacco had believed to be intelligent and hadn't recognized as inanimate due to the absence of such a distinction ever being taught to them, and to the fact that independent thought had been carefully discouraged at every stage of their elder-led upbringing. "Don't worry about another gate for now," Dan said to his friend. Leisha didn't deserve to feel the way he felt, shamed and betrayed so deviously, and one day Dan hoped to see a truly lasting smile on his face. "When you come back for Billy, you could always have a little extended flyover in this thing and see what you come across. Things on Earth and New Kerguelen will have settled down by then, so you won't be in the same kind of rush." Leisha attempted a smile, and it lasted for a few pleasant seconds. Better than none, Dan figured.
"So I guess we'll see you when we reach Birchwood?" Tara said.
Leisha nodded as he so liked to do, slowly up and slowly down.
"And don't forget to make sure the saucer is cloaked," she reminded him. "No one is supposed to know we were gone. No one is supposed to know anything, really. Where Godfrey went, where we went, any of it."
"Of course," Leisha said. "For now, please close your pods, and let's just hope we haven't been gone for too long."